Shavua Tov Mevarach Mishnah Yomi is holding in chapter 9 of Yevamot, Mishnah Vav, the sixth and last Mishnah in this chapter, similar to yesterday's Mishnah. Bat Kohen Shenisat Yisrael, the daughter of a Kohen, she used to eat Truma with her father's house, then she married a nice Jewish boy, Lo Tocho B'Truma. She's now in the household of a Yisrael, she cannot eat Truma, that's a Kohanic gift. Met Lohim and a Ben, her husband passed away, but she has a son, Yisrael Jr. Lo Tocho B'Truma. She still can't eat Truma because of the son, as we explained yesterday. Nisit LeLevi, she goes and marries Mr. Levi. Tocho B'Meiser, she can eat his Meiser Rishon, as we mentioned yesterday. Met Mr. Levi passed away, Lohim and a Ben, but she has a son, Levik. Tocho B'Meiser, she can continue eating Meiser Rishon through the Zuchus of her son. Nisit LeKohen, she then goes and marries a Mr. Cohen. Tochel Betruma, she can eat Truma. Here it's through her husband, not through her father's household. Metz, Mr. Cohen, passes away, Velo Amin Ben, but she has a son, Cohen Jr. Tochel Betruma, she can still eat Truma through the son. Metz Bena Mekohen, God forbid, her little Kohanic son passes away, Loch Tochel Betruma. She can no longer eat Truma, that was through the merit of her son. Metz Bena Melevi, then God forbid her son from the Levi dies. Levik Lo Tochel Bemeiser, can't eat Meiser Rishon anymore. Metz Bena Yisrael. So she's left with her son, who's the Yisrael, from the first marriage. And if he would pass away, Hozeret Levet Aviha, then she can go back to her father's house, her father, the Kohen. Ve'alzei Nemar, and the Torah actually describes this case, Vishova El Beit Aviha, this woman returns to the household of her father, Kin Ureha, as she was in her youth, Milechem Aviha Tochel. She can eat from the bread of her father. Now this kin oreha, like when she was a naira, na'ara, means when she didn't have any children. So if the children from the Yisrael and the Levi passed away, then she can go back. She's the same as she was before. And melechem aviha is the special bread we're talking about, the truma. So as we see, this is kind of the mirror image of yesterday's Mishnah about how children and even grandchildren can entitle or disqualify a woman from eating truma and meiser. Let's go on to chapter 10, a very important chapter. Ha'isha, there was a married woman, Shahaloch Bala, Lemidnat Hayam. Her husband went overseas on a long business trip, Uvov Amrullah, and someone came back and told her, Met Bailich. Unfortunately, we were there, we saw your husband passed away. Now, the matzav here is this is one actual witness to his death or to have seen his dead body. So typically, we require al pi shnei edim. We require two qualified adult male witnesses to establish a halachic legal reality. In this case, our sages were lenient. There's a leniency that we could rely on if it's reliable. We could rely on one person, even if he's not normally a qualified witness in other areas, to allow this woman to get remarried, mishum aguna. Now, aguna means anchored. We don't want her to be an anchored woman, and God forbid her husband died 10 years ago, and she's still holding out hope. So we would allow, if there's one somewhat reliable report, we would allow her to get married. Now, the Gemara explains, we also rely on the fact, and it's a fact, that a woman in this situation, even though she's stricken by grief, and maybe she needs some consolation, but she's going to be very careful. The Gemara says she's daika uminsava, she's meduyak, she's very careful to examine the reliability of this one person that she's relying on to get remarried. And as the Mishnah is about to explain, this is because there are fairly dire consequences if it was a mistake and it was wrong to rely on this one person. So the Mishnah is Venisit, and she did get married to someone else, V'achar Kach, and then what happens? Ba'ala, the first husband shows up, meaning that initial Eid Echa, that one single witness reporting he died, the news of his demise was premature. So now there are very harsh consequences. Teitze mizei mizei. She must divorce both of these husbands. Tzricha get mizei mizei. And she needs a get, a divorce document from both husbands. Now, the reason here is, lemaisa, at the end of the day, she ended up committing adultery. It was a mistake. She was not thinking that what she was doing was an illicit relationship. But at the end of the day, her husband was still alive, so she was married only to the original husband. And that second relationship, that second sham marriage, was an adulterous union. Now, she needs a get from both because not everybody knows that she left the first husband under these circumstances of an eid echad. So even though the second marriage, quote unquote, was meaningless legally, we still require a get there. And Mishkan continues, ein lo ketuva, lo peirot, so she doesn't get the marriage contract monies and not the fruits that either husband, quote unquote, husband has consumed from her dowry. Lo mezonot, she's not entitled to support anymore once the situation is revealed. Velo belot, and not worn out items of dowry that she brought into the marriage. Lo alze, velo alze, and she doesn't get any of these financial benefits of marriage, not from the original husband or the replacement sham husband. Vim notla mizei mizei, and if she seized property for any of these items or a ksuva payment, tachzor, she has to give it back to these men. Vlod mamzer mizei mizei, and if she has children, they are an product of an illegitimate relationship from both of these men. Now, this is interesting because we understand that the sham marriage, the fake marriage, based on incorrect testimony, we understand she was still married to the original husband, so any children from that union were illegitimate. They're mamzerim, God forbid. But if she goes and tries to remarry the second husband, it's still considered a mamzer, but this is actually a mamzer midivrei sofim, a rabbinical penalty, not a real biblical level mamzer. The Mishnah goes on, v'lo zeim zeim mitomin lo, and neither of these men can become ritually contaminated for her funeral, meaning a Kohen, if it was Mr. Kohen, cannot go to the funeral unless it's his wife or another close relative, and we penalize her that they're not considered to be really married. V'lo zeim zeim zokoin lo b'mitziyota v'lo maseyadeha, and neither of these men have a legal right, a financial right, to anything she finds or to what her hands make. In a normal marriage situation, the man is entirely financially responsible, but if his wife happens to find a diamond on the in the shuk and bring it home, so yeah, that belongs to him because he's on the hook to be financially responsible. And so too, if she's spinning thread or she's sewing clothing or she has a side job, then yes, that money belongs to the husband as long as the husband is completely financially responsible for the family. Now, the Gemara in Ketuvot we're going to see does encompass situations where the spouses might decide, well, we want to have a separate bank account, or we want the wife to go to work and she'll keep it and she'll feed herself. So these things are allowed in halacha if there's a specific arrangement, but by default, the husband provides for everything and is entitled to whatever the wife finds or makes. And these husbands also cannot mefer her neder, cannot undo, annul, revoke a neder, a vow that she made. We're going to talk all about this in detail in Nedarim. Haita bat Yisrael, if she was the daughter of a Yisrael, regular Jew, nifsala min kahuna. She cannot then marry a Kohen because she's had this quasi-adulterous relationship. She's a halola, as we've mentioned earlier. Bat Levi min a Meiser. If she was a bat Levi, she can only read Meiser Rishon. Bat Kohen min a Truma. If she was the daughter of a Kohen, she cannot eat Truma. Ve'ein yorshin shel zeh, v'yorshin shel zeh, yorshin k'duvata. And neither of her descendants from either husband have a financial right to inherit her ketuvah if she would pass away before these men. Imetu, if they've died, achiv shel zeh, holtzin v'lo yibamin. So back to the yibam context, if these husbands, quote, one real husband, the original, and the sham husband, if they died, their brothers should do chalitza, because this marriage has been undermined, and the second one was not real in the beginning, but they cannot do yibam. They cannot marry this woman in yibam. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, Ketuvata al nichse bala rishon, she is entitled to a marriage contract from the property of the first husband. Rabbi Elazar Omer, harishon zakad mitziyata, the first husband still has rights to what she finds, maseyadeha, what she earns, havrat nidreha, and to annul her vows. So we see there would still be some sense of a marriage still existing, even though we need to cancel it out with a get because of the situation that took place in the middle. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon adds, Biyato Huliyata, Ta me achiv shel rishon pater tzarata. He adds, if she had a co-wife who did not get remarried to a sham husband, then if the brother and the first husband passed away, then if the brothers of the first husband either do chalitza or yibam, then they've done something biblically effective. We didn't want them to do it because of the situation that had arose on the basis of the improper testimony, but if they did it, they've released the co-wife from needing a yibam or chalitza. And a child from this situation, from the first husband after he returned and she divorced the second sham husband, they say is not a mamzer. But if she got married without permission, muteret lachzor bo, she can go back to the first husband. Now what this means is there were actually two kosher witnesses. And they said convincingly the husband passed away. So when we say shalom reshut, it means she didn't need reshut. She didn't need permission of the court. If we're only relying on one person's testimony, then the court has to give her a legal decision, a psak halacha, a permission slip to remarry. But if two kosher witnesses show up, that's considered a done deal. So if she got remarried based on that, that's completely out of her control. It's a complete mistake. She shouldn't have to double check it. So then she can go back to the first husband and she is not penalized. Unfortunately, this is an issue that has come up in halacha in recent times and after the Holocaust as well. There are many women who had to investigate and try to find reports of what happened to their husbands. It's interesting, I've heard that the women who went to Rav Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, Rav Ovadia, to investigate and get a psak halacha, a heter, to release her to remarry, none of those women ever had the first husband ever show up again. But unfortunately, there were cases where a woman did not do a thorough investigation, did not go to Beis Din, did not get a chacham, a tzaddik, to look into it for her, and there were issues. After 9/11, there were issues finding out who was in the building. And recently, there are also, in Eretz Yisrael, we should daven that all of the agunot, all of the women who have missing husbands, husbands who have missing wives, children with missing parents, that everyone should be returned safely home, God willing, speedily, and enjoy. And our learning of Torah should be a zechut for all of them. Tizkulu mitzvot.